From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Here's the 1-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and there it is.
Congratulations, Rick Porcello.
A big smile from the Tigers right-hander. His teammates come out to congratulate him. A complete game victory here tonight as the Tigers win it 9-1, and he needed just 105 pitches.
Oscar De La Hoya, the president of Golden Boy Promotions, as well as a 10-time world title holder, is again checking into rehab.
People assume that he's been drinking again. He is an admitted alcoholic, bad problem.
That was a cheap shot. But at what point will the league continue just to fine and fine when they threaten suspension and all of the fine letters? They're not changing the attitude of this kid.
SI.com report has come out detailing widespread misconduct from the Oklahoma State football program for the period from 2001 to 2011. A stretch where Les Miles and the current Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy were at the helm.
I think there was just a culture of wrongdoing. There was sort of a culture of anything goes.
Here is that set piece. And this time, Eddie Johnson gets there and scores for the USA, who move one giant step nearer Brazil. Oh, played it today, and Landon Donovan makes it two. It's that scoreline.
Yeah, welcome to Current Sports, as always. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll remind you all that you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at AlMartin@WKAR.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We always want to hear what's on your mind. And, of course, you know that you can give us a ring here at Current Sports by calling 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. How have you been enjoying the show so far? I encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and pose some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me at AlMartinWKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even give us a call right now, 517-355-9527. And today's Current Sports topic that we will be edging you on to call about is concerning the Floyd Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez fight happening this Saturday night. That's right, Floyd Mayweather will put that 44-0 record on the line against the young and fast, energetic. I mean, I could go on and on. Canelo Alvarez, he seems to be a very, very good fighter. Could prove to be Floyd Mayweather's toughest fight in quite some time, you know. So, again, who do you think is going to win? 517-355-9527. Mayweather or Alvarez? Give us a call right now. We'll put you right on the air. We can discuss it. All right. In the meantime, let's dive into our current sports topics. The Detroit Tigers. The Tigers topped the White Sox yesterday 9-1. Now, Rick Porcello pitched his first career complete game. Prince Fielder homered among his four hits, and Detroit snapped a three-game losing streak with a 9-1 win over the Chicago White Sox. Porcello said after the game, quote, "We had a meeting before the game and everybody talked about coming together and finishing the season strong. Everybody played their butts off today, and I think it really worked." Now, Porcello is now 12-8, scattered seven hits, struck out five, and walked one. The 24-year-old right-hander retired 14 straight after Chicago scored its only run in the fourth, and Alex Avila added four hits and two RBIs as the AL Central leading Detroit's offense finally just took off. The Tigers now increase their lead over Cleveland 5.5 games. 5.5 games, folks. They have one more game in a three-game series against the White Sox. And then they face the Kansas City Royals for a three-game series. Now, on another note, suspended Detroit shortstop Johnny Peralta will work out with the Tigers before Wednesday's game against the White Sox. According to GM Dave Dombrowski, he announced that before yesterday's game. So, folks, Johnny Peralta's suspension is coming to a close very, very soon, and you could see him out there. I can't believe it. I tell you, in baseball, time just flies because they play so many back-to-back-to-back games. But, yes, Johnny Peralta, he looks to be returning to Detroit very, very soon. All right, Ndamukong Suh. Agents for defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh are gathering information for an appeal of the Detroit Lions' $100,000 fine. But the basis of their argument at this point is due to the amount that they feel as though is excessive, according to Ndamukong Suh, that is. Now, another interesting element of Sue's appeal is that it will be heard by either former coach Ted Cottrell or ex-player Matt Burke. Now, Suh might have reason to be concerned if Burke is involved, since he's a former offensive lineman and, in fact, played with the Vikings as their center, the position Sullivan was playing Sunday. Now, Sue's previous fine was $30,000 for kicking Houston Texans quarterback Matt Schaub in the groin area. Now, the cost for his illegal block on Minnesota Vikings center John Sullivan is $100,000, the largest fine in NFL history without a suspension involving the loss of game checks. Now, Suh was voted a team captain by his teammates and apologized to them on Tuesday. He also apologized to linebacker DeAndre Levy, who lost a touchdown on that play on an interception return because of Sue's penalty for blocking below the waist on a change of possession play. So, we'll see how that turns out. Sue is saying, hey, this is a bit excessive. I'm going to appeal it. All right, let's move on to Dave Brandon, U of M athletic director, excuse me. Night games at Michigan Stadium will continue, but not against the two biggest rivals, MSU and OSU. Brandon cites fan behavior as the primary reason. According to MLive.com, 11 arrests, 72 ejections, and 133 individuals treated by medical personnel after Saturday's game. Speaking about UM's in-state rival, the AD said those numbers could possibly triple with a night game against the Spartans. He says, quote, I know how many people get arrested. I know how many people get ejected from the stadium. I know how many people get carted off to the hospital. I know what it is on a typical game, and I know what it is on a Michigan State game. And if you took a Michigan State game and moved it to 8 o'clock, you could take what we experience now and may double or triple it, and I don't want to do that. So, Brandon mentioned Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Penn State as possibilities to continue what he'd like to see become an annual tradition. So, all you Spartan fans out there, looks like we're not going to see a U of M Spartan game in a football stadium for quite some time. All right, USA, the USA men's soccer team, clinched their seventh straight World Cup appearance with a 2-0 victory over regional rival Mexico. Unbelievable. Now, thanks to second-half goals from Eddie Johnson and Landon Donovan, the U.S. squad was unable to send a raucous American crowd home happy from Columbus Crew Stadium. Unbelievable stuff. Now, needing a Honduras win or tie to clinch their spot, the U.S. got it just a few hours later as Honduras played Panama to a 2-2 tie. Now, having clinched their spot in Brazil, the Americans will likely take it easy in their final two qualifiers, which are Jamaica and Panama, in mid-October. All right, Von Miller. Yes, he's making the news once again, folks. Von Miller, suspended Denver Broncos linebacker, has had another run with the law. The All-Pro was cited for speeding and driving without a license and was arrested last month while trying to purchase a firearm when a routine background check revealed he had an outstanding warrant. Now, all of this while serving a 6-game suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Commissioner Roger Goodell can add games to his suspension in light of this citation. Registering 30 sacks in his first two seasons, Miller is vital to his team's Super Bowl chances unless his off-field troubles continue to keep him out of the lineup. And Oscar De La Hoya, president of Golden Boy Promotions and a 10-time world title winner, has returned to rehab to address a substance abuse problem, folks. De La Hoya, who is currently promoting a bout between undefeated junior middleweight title holders Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Saul Canelo Alvarez, the biggest fight of the year, will miss the match on Saturday night at the MGM Grand because of his issues. Now, Canelo Alvarez, this is coming from De La Hoya. This is a direct quote from De La Hoya. Quote, Canelo Alvarez and I have big fights coming up this weekend. He is in the ring, and mine in his is in the ring, and mine in treatment. I will not be at the fight to cheer Canelo to victory, since I have voluntarily admitted myself into a treatment facility. While the specific substance is unknown, De La Hoya is an admitted alcoholic and has had cocaine problems in the past. His first stint in rehab facility came in 2011 when he was promoting a fight between Bernard Hopkins and John Pascal. So we wish De La Hoya the best. I really hope he gets that addiction. I really hope he gets over that. All right. Well, those are your sports headlines for today. If you want to share your thoughts on any of those, pick up that phone. Yes, I'm talking to you out there listening right now. Pick up the phone. That's right. Dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's headliners. Again, 517-355-9527. And today we are posing a question to all of you out there. Who do you think will win this weekend showdown between Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Canelo Alvarez? What do you think? Share your thoughts again. That's 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone, give us a call, and let your voice be heard. Well, let's get into our guest for today's show. He is a man whose name is unforgettable when you talk about Michigan State football. A star at the running back position. His totals at MSU were 621 carries for 3,379 yards and 29 touchdowns. His 621 rushing attempts ranked 7th on the Spartans career record chart. He became the 5th all-time leading rusher for MSU, falling just short of his brother. Yes, his brother Tico's 4,212 yards. He was drafted to the NFL in 2002 and played for the Falcons, Redskins, Lions, and Seahawks. Todd Duckett, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, first of all, thanks a lot for joining me on today's show, man. You are a busy man, I'm sure.
Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Well, first of all, Todd, how is life after football been, brother?
It's been phenomenal. It started out real dreamy, and then and then it became reality set in, and now it finding my bearings and building and growing from here. So I can't complain one bit. I mean, you have adversity, you have success, and that's life, right?
You talk about dreamy. Expand upon that a little
dreamy,
bit.
Dreamy, well, I mean, you get done playing and you just think you have it all wrapped up in your pocket. You think you have an idea of what you want to do. You think you have an idea of what your passion was. But when that's over, it's kind of now that the dream, the castle in the sky, isn't what you thought it was, and you have to now re-identify, reconnect, and redevelop who you are.
Right.
And that's what it was about. It wasn't, I'm going to go and do this for the rest of my life or whatever. I had to figure out what my new passion was going to be. And that was something I didn't think about when I got done playing. That wasn't part of the dream.
Gotcha. Now, Todd, I got to ask you now. I know that after football, you have returned to Lansing and been a part of so many charitable causes. Yeah. What sparked that interest for you? And can you talk about just how important it is to give back to the community?
Yeah, what sparked the interest was trying to figure out what I was about, what my own personality, my own new me, what that was. And I couldn't find it. It didn't have anything to do with material things because I could buy anything I wanted. I could do anything I wanted. So that wasn't how I could identify what my next step was. So I ended up volunteering. I ended up giving. I ended up serving. And the time that I was given, the time of my life that I was able to contribute to others without a financial obligation, without providing things, just me and my time,
right,
man, that changed my whole way of thinking, my whole way of living. And from that point forward, it didn't matter about money. It didn't matter about those things. It mattered how am I going to give of myself every day. And when you look at it that way, you realize time is the most valuable thing you have, which is far more precious than money, than a car, than all these things that myself included valued so much.
Without a doubt, Todd. Now, I got to tell you, man, I got to ask you, do you still think? Do you still do the Bald Ricks thing with the Children's Cancer fundraiser where you
St. Baldrick's?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where you grow out the beard. That's pretty cool stuff. For those, explain to those for the listeners out there who don't know what that is.
It was called St. Baldrick's Day, and what it was a group of people got together, and this is all over the country.
Right.
Would get together and cut their hair. I would cut my beard to raise money for a cancer organization, a cure for cancer, children's cancer. And I did that for my 8 years playing it every year. And then when I got done playing and moved back to Lansing, I still did it. But instead of it going to a national organization, I decided to do something local. So the money went to McLaren, their cancer area. That's where my mother passed from cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, in 2000. And she was treated at that hospital. So that's where the money shifted there. But even I took it a step further, following after that, we raised a lot of money, but it was still a big drop in the bucket of a huge machine. So we said, let's take it a little more closer to the home. And we started giving the funds to the Olin Project. And they're here in town. They take pictures of men, women, and children who are going through chemo. So they have pictures where if the person survives, they remember a beautiful moment when they're going through something that was really uncomfortable. But if they pass, it's their last memory of them actually being happy and having self-esteem. So it was something that started a long time ago, but now we carried it over. And the beautiful thing now, what we do is we make it a challenge with other schools. So we'll have schools who go out, and we have a point system.
Local schools.
Yeah. We have a point system. High school, junior high, elementary schools here in the area.
Right.
We have a point system that for every student, it's a point. For every teacher, it's like two. For administrator, like three. Business owner in the community, like five. And whatever school has the most points, we go and we do a cut at their school. Last 2 years, a school in Eaton Rapids has won. And this past year, it was a Eaton Rapids middle school or elementary school. Mm-hmm. So we had like 50, 60 first, second, and third graders all cutting their hair to help raise money for our organization.
Wow.
Impact the youth early.
There you go. Well, that is such an inspirational initiative, Todd. Really, really cool stuff there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us on here on Current Sports, we are talking with Todd Duckett, of course, former Spartan running back, of course, played in the NFL for a numerous amount of years. Now, Todd, I got to shift things a little bit here. Yeah, yeah. I want to talk a little bit about MSU football. Now,
go green.
That, of course, there you go, right? Of course, that's been the buzz here in Lansing, the biggest talk about, and I guess the state, too, because right now, this whole QB situation, MSU, they're trying everyone. Trying everyone but, you know, my cousin or my mom or something like that. You know what I mean? What is your assessment of this QB situation right now and overall assessment of the MSU football team?
Yeah, well, overall, man, the defense is phenomenal.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the defense, let's put a defense player at quarterback.
Right. Yeah, that's what I said. The defense should play offense with way they're playing right now.
Let's just kneel three times, punt.
Just Shalee Calhoun just running every time.
I personally believe they're trying to find an identity. I mean, they went all through spring trying to find a quarterback. They went through training camp trying to find a quarterback. Third week of the season trying to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks volumes for what Kirk Cousins was. I think that speaks volumes for how much Le'Veon Bell was. I mean, these certain guys who helped this offense, and now that they're gone – there's a lack of leadership.
Right.
There's a lack of playmaker ability, and especially at the quarterback position. I mean, Kirk Cousins, he it was a no-brainer. I mean, he came in, he did his thing, and now whoever that next guy is, last year was Maxwell, those are big shoes to fill. I mean, those are very, very big, lofty shoes to fill, and I don't think that they're ready for him, and they still haven't found a size that fits yet.
Right.
So
very true.
Now that being said, let's create a new thing. Do you start freshman? Do you? I mean, you know,
I'm not big on predictions, but yeah. I gotta ask you, who do you think will end up eventually being the quarterback for this team?
Oh man, that's a great question. I personally think it may end up being O'Connor. I mean, starting with the freshman, because Terry still has a redshirt year, and you don't know to take that. I mean, I don't have enough information, and I don't know Michigan State's organization that much to see if it's worth breaking the redshirt this year. But you have a guy who is a young guy, a young quarterback, who you could build with over time. I mean, I say go out there. You see what the other two guys can do. You gave them plenty of shots. Not only have you given them plenty of shots, but you've taken them both out and put another guy in. So obviously there's something that isn't working that they believe. So I would say put that guy in. Put O'Connor in.
Because he only got, four plays? He was only out there four plays.
I mean,
It was effective. It was an effective four plays compared to the other two quarterbacks, at least.
And at the same time, it's building because now – I mean, the other guys, though, they're older quarterbacks. They have seniority, but same time, you have to start building a program. We have to build. Otherwise, if we don't do that this time, later in the year, we're finding reps for the guy coming in later.
Right.
Well, later in the spring, the conversation starts again. So if we can make a decision now, and winning and losing, I mean, the defense is going to have to step up. And I mean, they've done it already.
Right.
So now they have to even put more of a burden on their shoulder. But over every week, every game, hopefully the offense is getting better and it'll start to take up some of that and start to score some points.
Right. I tell you what, it's going to be a really interesting time because D'Antonio said yesterday in his press conference that Connor Cook and Damian Terry are going to get, you know, the blunt of the reps this week. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see if that red shirt comes off and maybe throw Terry out there. I have no idea. Certainly time will tell.
It will.
So, Todd. I'm sure you've been asked this plenty of times. Go ahead and throw on those headphones for me really quick. We got a clip that we want you to listen to and hear. I got to go back in time just for a sec. I'm sure a lot of people in Sparty Land remembers this moment, and, of course, you definitely remember this moment, Todd.
Last play of the game.
Well, he's not going to run Duckett.
They're going to set him out.
Might be quarterback draw. That's what you wonder. Will they get the quarterback draw?
They spread the defense. Here's Smoker looking for it. High!
Oh!
Touchdown, Michigan State does it! Duckett! The Spartans upset the Wolverines!
I mean, how could you forget that moment? Of course, that's when your famous catch. They call it Clockgate because before that play happened, when you scored that touchdown to beat, you know, Michigan in that game, you know, there was a lot of controversy on whether or not the clock ran out or should it have been stopped at one.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about that moment. Was that probably the most memorable moment out of your MSU career?
It was definitely one of them, without a doubt. Game like that, you definitely don't want to play at night in Ann Arbor.
And it's so, I guess, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about that moment.
There, but it was a great moment. I'm just blessed that I caught the ball. I mean, as much as I am thankful and understand the game, I always tell people to look at both sides, and there's a chance I could have dropped it. And then the conversation, life, so many things changed just from that moment. So understanding it was a game, understanding it was big, but also knowing that nothing was guaranteed that I caught it, or he even threw it to me. I mean, all that to kind of lead into how I live my life now. It's you never know when you'll impact a life. You'll never know when you will have a defining moment, not just for you, but I mean, this is like 11 years later and we're still talking about that moment.
Yes,
I mean,
we are.
And you never know when that is. And I've heard multiple stories from different people where they were at. I was in the stands.
Yeah.
I was at my house, whatever. But it was a great moment. But the I think the big message behind that, and it's you never know. You never know when you're gonna make that play. I mean, I'm a running back. I'm sitting next to Charles Rogers, one of the best receivers in the history, and then the ball is thrown to me. And that's the only time I caught the ball in like 3 years.
right.
But that's kind of how I take away from it.
Everything happens for a reason, right?
It does. And that's what I walked away with after I left that game and how I think about it now, I reflect, and how I live my life when I volunteer and I give and serve now.
Now, I got to ask you. I know it's a stretch. I probably already know the answer to this. But should the clock have run out?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. What are you talking about?
Just asking, Ty.
It's not even close. It was perfect. They did a
perfect.
Great job.
Great job. Reps did a great job.
Great,
there you go. I knew I was going to get an answer.
Great call.
Ladies and gents, we're talking with former MSU. I mean, he's a legend. A legend when you talk about MSU football. Ty Duckett, a pleasure to have him on the show. Now, as stated above, you know, before in the intro, your brother was also a pretty good football player.
Yeah.
He also played in the NFL. How cool was it having a brother who was also talented in the game? And just talk about the competition between you two growing up. That had to be an interesting house.
He's 11 years older than me.
Yeah.
So, we never had no wrestling. I mean, I would always lose, But what it did for me was it made me believe anything was possible. It made me believe that this is a guy in my family, my brother, who went to college, went to Michigan State, had a lot of success, went on to play professional, and then went on to start his own business. Now to see that and know that that's my family member and see that we came from the same parents, to see that he had his flaws. I mean, I knew the guy, you know? And there was,
right.
What that did was help me believe dreams were obtainable, because sometimes you get it and you hear it from this guy on TV who you'll never meet, who says you can do it. Or you see it, read about in this book from this story, and you say, that's unbelievable, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But to have my own brother have achieved those levels, and then to see him come home like during Christmas break or spring break and see him running, training on his own time.
Wow.
To see that, by the time I wake up, he's coming in after running miles in the snow.
Right.
And to see that, it's like, man, so that's how you do it. That there's no mystical formula, but to actually witness that on a daily basis, not just from reading a book, not just from watching a documentary, but to see that was the most beneficial thing and part of my transition from playing a dream sport to the business world was when he started the Duckett Brothers Distributing, the janitorial company.
Yeah.
When he started that, he completely shifted gears. So by the time I was done and not having a passion to play the game anymore, I knew that there was life after. I didn't know exactly what that would be, but I knew that you can make a transition. So the fact that it was a family member doing these things, knowing my brother like I know him, made me think anything's possible. Anything, you can do anything you want. And from there, that was kind of the fuel that forced me to work. I can work. He did it. I mean, it's the same. And I think that it's important for anyone to find a person who's close, who they can touch, who's tangible, and ask them questions, watch them on a daily. It's great to read books. It's great to have documentaries. But to actually see that person and what they do on a daily, that is what really helps to build the foundation of dreams.
Just seeing that personal connection firsthand.
Just seeing, to see him, can I use your blanket you slept with last night? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
just something. Yeah.
I'm knocking on the door waiting for you to get out the shower, man. Dang, can I get in the shower?
Real personal.
But I'm saying, but that right there, he doesn't take a shower in some magical water. He's the same thing.
And same then, person.
To see that really, it never dawned on me that it was the NFL or football success. It never dawned on me that it was rare or that it was hard. It was just something that you do. You just work and you can do it. That's how I saw it my whole life.
Right.
I was blessed with God-given ability, size, speed. But at the same time, I saw the work ethic that you have to do to develop those abilities.
So, so true. Now, Tad, you played in the NFL, of course, as I just mentioned. And I want to, talk about this NFL concussion settlement just for a minute. Now, the NFL, of course, you probably know, has decided to allocate $765 million to 18,000 players or so, retired NFL players, due to what they believe, not the NFL, due to what many believe outside of the NFL, was, a lack of knowledge, I guess. Sure. You can say, when it comes to concussions that lead to dementia and other brain diseases. Now, what's your take on it, and should this have been done? Do you agree with the
statement? Yeah, I do. I mean, I believe it, because every day guys are getting concussions. I mean, every day guys are getting hit, whether they practice or they're in a game, it happens. And football is one of the sports that you don't get compensated. If you get a contract, it's not guaranteed.
Right.
So you get what you have right there when you're playing. And guys, I mean, they get paid, and a lot of them don't achieve what their contract is. And after a certain amount of years, you also lose your health benefits as well. So wow. To play that sport and have lifelong injuries, lifelong things that will linger, I mean, it's great for the guys to be able to get some type of help, some type of support, especially if they're suffering from a brain disorder, something in there where hospital bills are still coming. I mean, it's different from when you had a hospital bill and the team pays for it or that insurance company that pays for it. Now you have to pay for it. And the facts on top of all of that is a lot of guys don't do well with their money. So you are trying to figure out how to survive, and you're trying to figure out how to take care of a doctor bill. Mm-hmm. Man, that'll drive you crazy by itself.
Yeah, that's so true.
So I think it was a great thing. And you know, I think it's also it's a brutal sport. So yeah. to say this hit can't do that, I mean, you're almost taking the sport away. So it's, I mean, these are all choices these guys made. No one said you have to play football.
Yeah,
no one forced you. You chose to wake up and go to two-a-days and be sore, and that's the same way I chose that, and that's part of what comes with it. And if there can be some type of benefit after it all, more power to everybody.
Definitely. Now, Todd, you kind of hit on my next conversation I want to have with you really briefly, and that's, you know, players managing their money. Now, yeah. Before you got here in the studio, I was sitting, you know, looking at the, I don't know if you've seen the whole All Access between the Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez fight.
I haven't
but
seen that.
I just watched the latest episode, and it's very interesting because, you know, Floyd is known. I mean, he's probably one of the richest athletes in the world.
Sure.
And on the documentary, it shows Floyd kind of just flaunting his money, which he can do. He has the money to do.
Yeah.
He's got Ferraris and Bugattis and Rolls Royces. He's got the money team, as he calls it, TMT,
yeah.
which he's paying yeah. all of them thousands of dollars. Can you talk about, because I'm pretty sure you probably saw the documentary that ESPN did entitled Broke, showing all these NFL players, or not NFL players, just athletes in general
yeah.
that have just squandered their money over time after they've played their sport. I mean, can you talk about that and what leads to an NFL player or NBA player, MLB player to just squander money while playing and afterwards?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about that a little bit.
I really believe it's just the lack of knowledge on money and lack of educated on how to take care of it, how to create it, how to save it, how to let it grow and make its own. A lot of people, I mean, that's not very few NFL players, I can speak from my time playing, very few of them have another millionaire in their family or know another millionaire that says this is how you do it.
Right, exactly.
I mean, very, very few have that. And at the same time, it's hard. Who do you trust in that stage? I mean, you have people saying, I'll manage your money. Well, who do you trust? And it's really hard. So you have 21, 22, 23-year-old guys who get a first contract who may not know what to do, may not understand what money's about, and then they spend it all and never get another contract.
Right.
I mean, you got guys, I mean, to be honest, there's some guys, I don't care what you do, you're not going to spend all that money. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounder free agent trying to spend the same money as a first rounder, as a veteran that's been in the league for 5-10 years,
yeah,
you can't keep up.
So they're living above those sixth and seventh rounders. They're living above their means, trying to match, you know, that first round pick in his money.
Yeah, I mean, you look at now, that's kind of how the youth do things. I mean,
that's true.
It's a common everyday thing, and the only difference is you see the NFL or people with money on a spotlight with a lot amount, but a lot of people, man, they get their check, they go buy something that they can't even afford,
right.
And then they just wait and sit on it, and then they get another check and they buy another something else. So it's just you it's more magnified on the spotlight than in the real world. But
that's the formula.
Even as a kid, man, when I was a kid, just shoes were expensive then. And my
yeah.
mom would be on me. Like, you don't know, I'm not getting them. No. And I'd be like, what? But I mean, she was a school teacher and
right.
she understood it. She got it. But sometimes some people they value more the shoes or the things rather than actually trying to create wealth.
So, so true. Todd, before I let you go, what are you doing now? What are you up to?
Yeah.
How can people follow me? Are you on Twitter? What's going on?
I'm on Twitter. My Twitter is Todd Duckett, at Todd Duckett. Started Duckett Enterprises. Within that, we help businesses. We help them grow. We invest. My brother and I, Tico, we have Duckett Brothers Distributing. It's a janitorial supplies company. have a t-shirt printing company, simple-t.org. It's our t-shirt printing company. And my nonprofit, New World Flood, flooding the world through giving and service. A single raindrop is the beginning of a flood. And so those are really my three, four things that I'm really pushing. And really what Duckett Enterprises is about, it's given opportunity. I mean, I've been blessed with knowledge, with just things, and to help other businesses, to help share some of my wisdom, or to be able to partner them up with someone who knows what they're talking about within their field. That's kind of what that's all about. And everything else, man, it's nonprofit, being able to give and serve, and I love printing t-shirts. That's what it's about, man.
I got to get one, man. Yes, I'm big with t-shirts, yes, man, so yes, I would definitely be hitting you up. Ty, thanks so much for
joining
me.
Thank you for having me.
And I got to tell you, I just met Tico for the first time on Monday. We recorded Quizbusters. I went against your brother head-to-head and totally embarrassed myself. I don't want to see that episode, but Tico will be on the show next week.
Good.
Ty, we got to stay in touch, man. Good. Always a pleasure, man.
Appreciate you.
Definitely. Well, there you have it. Former Spartan running back, great NFL running back, Todd Duckett. Thanks for joining me, Todd, on today's Current Sports. Man, you take care, all right?
I will. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, when we return to the show, we'll talk Notre Dame and also Mayweather and Alvarez. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Give us your thoughts on who will win this weekend's fight. Don't go anywhere. Again, 517-355-9527. More current sports is coming right back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, 12 years after terrorists destroyed the World Trade Center in New York, a new one is almost complete with twin reflecting pools and a museum. But there's ongoing tension between commerce and commemoration. We'll look at the battle over Ground Zero. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Good people, welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished talking with former Spartan running back Todd Duckett. Of course, he played in the NFL. He's such a great guy. Got a lot of inspirational causes in effect right now. We just finished up with him, and now we move on to our conversation part of the show, where we are going to discuss the Floyd Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez fight, along with U of M and Notre Dame. This past weekend, of course, U of M and Notre Dame play for the final time, I guess for the foreseeable future, as you know, that rivalry is now ending. But guys, let's talk Mayweather really quick. And you know, as mentioned, you know, in my interview with Todd just a minute ago, I showed you guys Floyd Mayweather's All Access show, in which Floyd is kind of just flaunting his money, but he has the money to do it. I tell you that. You saw Ferraris and Bugattis and Rolls Royces, Lamborghinis, huge house. He's got a team of 50 plus members called the Money Team that's around him 24/7, including about 20 or so women, which he pays thousands and thousands of dollars just to be around him and handle his business. Unbelievable stuff, guys, to say the least. But what are your thoughts on that, and also this fight that's coming up this weekend?
You know, I'm a big boxing guy. So first off, what I'm looking for is if Alvarez can be patient. You know, Floyd is a defensive fighter. We saw what happened with Guerrero. He was swinging out of his mind, just like what's-his-name was running against the MSU defense this past weekend. The USF quarterback was just running out of his life. But when I looked at Guerrero, he was just punching out of his life. He couldn't land one punch on Mayweather. So for me, it's not about if it's a power puncher or not. It's the fact if, one, who's going to be patient enough to face such a shifty guy, and two, will Mayweather ever knock out a guy that doesn't go a full round? We haven't seen it since his early career. Yeah. It's standing every fight.
Yeah, that's the thing about Mayweather. I mean, let's be honest here. The guy is, in my opinion, the best defensive fighter I've seen personally. I've seen in quite a while. I mean, he will dance around the ring. You will rarely get a solid land on him. He can take a punch as well. He doesn't have a glass jaw. Mayweather can take a punch as well. But I think this is going to be just like all the other fights. I have a feeling it will be, where it goes 12 and Mayweather wins by a decision. I don't know. Matt, what do you think, man?
Well, speaking as someone who is not a huge boxing know-how and know-it-all, and very little knowledge, I like to equate everything to Rocky when I'm talking about boxing.
I love Rocky.
And that documentary you showed us, it did seem like he was just like Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
You know, he's just...
I know, right? Worse than Apollo Creed.
But in an even more obnoxious light.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, not having any real opinion on Mayweather, watching even 3 minutes of that documentary made me root for Alvarez. You know, it's just like...
It's like, come on,
the guy, it's just too much. He's flaunting it all over, and he can. You know, he's won. He hasn't lost ever, so more power to him. But at the same time, it's like, come on. People like humility, and he has none.
None whatsoever. He does not have a humble bone in his body.
I guess you can do that when you're 44-0 or whatever, but at the same time, it's like, enough is enough.
Right.
You know.
Come on. All right, well, we have Ren on line one. Ren, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Al?
Great, man. Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Okay. Well, on my two cents, honestly, nobody is about to beat Floyd. Only thing that's going to be Floyd is age.
Uh-huh.
And, I see a lot of people thinking that this cat, you know, he's young, he's talented. Give him that. But he does not have what it takes to break down Mayweather's defense. Impossible,
huh? That defense is not, he's not breaking through it.
He's not breaking through it. They say you can't master a sport or anything at that matter, but I think Mayweather has mastered boxing.
Ren, I have a question for you. Do you think the fact that Mayweather is a defensive fighter has something to do that he's compensating that with his age? Do you think that's a strategy because he's getting older, that he becomes more defensive?
Well, he may have gotten a little more defensive, but the Mayweather fighting style taught to him by his uncle, you can watch his old fights, has always been very defensive. And, I mean, you can just, and he's old now, he's getting older, but he's smarter. He plays smarter. And you will always see that when athletes get older, they'll play more intelligent when they can't rely on their body like they used to.
Right. Hey, Ren, thanks a lot for the call, brother. Thank you.
All right, for sure.
All right. Well, that was Ren from Detroit giving his thoughts on the Mayweather fight. We also have we have Lou on line three. Lou, welcome to Current Sports.
Lou, how you doing, Al?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing real well. Good to hear from you too, Alex.
Oh, Lou, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
But I just wanted to make a quick comment. I want to root for Canelo because watching the All Access, like you guys were talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, you can really see it's kind of polar opposites for personalities. A guy who's about his country is about his family, and then not to say that Floyd's not about his family, absolutely not. But he flaunts it. He's a little cockier, but I find it really hard to bet against Floyd.
Now, Lou, when I was watching this little Showtime series, I looked at the one with Guerrero, and they seemed remotely similar. Both away from their families, both training well, eating well, only focused on the fight. For me, Lou, after watching this Showtime, I just think this is the same old result.
Well, I mean, just to chime in really quick, I mean, that when you look at that, Alex, I mean, that has nothing to do with the fight, though. That's just lifestyle. You know what I mean?
I think so.
Well,
yeah.
Either does the Showtime series in general. Then why are we talking about it?
Well, I wanted to talk about his, you know, dollar bill, y'all. He's flaunting money left and right, buying all
strictly
these cars.
Floyd. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is personality. But go ahead, Lou. I'm sorry.
But yeah, but I think as far as Guerrero goes, Guerrero, he was older. He had a completely different style. If you watch the Trout fight with Canelo,
yeah,
pretty shifty. And he even got cocky about how shifty he was being, tossing his head around, doing a little dance and all that. So I think Canelo has a much better chance than Guerrero.
Right.
But I think it's going to be close either way. Thanks, guys. I got to go, but thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Lou. Appreciate the call. Again, you can let your voice be heard here on the show. 517-355-9527. Of course, Floyd Mayweather Jr. will be taking on Saul Alvarez this Saturday night. Give us your thoughts on what you think is going to happen. And I tell you what, though, when you talk about technique, Alex, I think Floyd, over the years, he's become better at kind of managing the fight and being more defensive. I think he's always been a defensive fighter. I mean, but if you look at knockouts, his last knockout came to Victor Ortiz. And if you remember that fight, that was one of those cheap shot knockouts. Remember, they came to the huddle, they knocked gloves with each other. They're breaking up. Ortiz had his gloves down, and Mayweather hits him with the shot, and boom.
Remember watching
boom
it live?
Boom goes the dynamite.
It was crazy. Right?
Yeah, it was crazy. So I think when you look at Mayweather and his fighting technique, over time, he's become a better defensive fighter just because he has to. Like you said, he's 37 years old. He's 44-0 right now, 44-0. And, you know, the point that you made, Matt, when you talk about, you know, just his whole lifestyle of the whole flaunting the money, when you look at stuff like that, I guess 44-0 does that to you because you keep racking up wins. You start to feel as though you're indestructible. Your head gets big. I think when you put it in that context,
from the little snippet that the documentary showed, it just seemed like MC Hammer in the early 90s. Like, just like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to take 40 people with me, and I don't know 38 of them. Right. But we're going to have a great time, and I'm going to pay for everyone. Just like, you know, when does the hammer drop, you know?
Right.
If he loses a fight and retires and goes off into the sunset, I hope maybe he you know, parts ways with one of his car collections or something.
Yeah,
it's like,
something, you know? You know.
I don't want to see him with the bankruptcy headlines in 5 years.
That'll be very unfortunate. We have Apachu on line one. How you doing, Apachu?
I'm doing okay. I'm probably not going to watch the fight. Maybe I've seen him fight once, Mayweather, over the years. I used to fight out of the Kalamazoo Boxing Academy. And it was either his uncle or his dad, somebody from Grand Rapids or Mayweather that I fought, sparred. Mm-hmm. So that's my claim to history. But I want to say something. Getting on your bicycle and running is not defensive fighting. It's called running. Okay, defensive fighting to me is when you can counter punch, you can catch punches, counter and counter punch, when you can slip punches, when you can sidestep, when you can cut off the ring, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The reason why he probably doesn't have as much punch power is because he's running all the time. And it takes a lot of energy to run.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my opinion about him as a defensive fighter.
Who do you think is going to win, Apachu? Give me a prediction really quick.
Probably Mayweather. And I don't pay attention anymore. But it sounds like he's up against a slugger who's going to take a lot of punches, who's going to have trouble or getting him up against the ropes, putting him on the corner, because he's a stick-and-move fighter.
Right.
And he's shooting popcorn, but he's staying out of trouble. I remember when Jimmy Young was fighting, and he fought Muhammad Ali and beat him, in my opinion, on points. A lot of people felt that way.
Yeah.
But they gave the fight to Muhammad Ali because he can sell tickets. Jimmy Young was a boring fighter, but he was a stick-and-move fighter. It was hard to hit him. Stick-and-move on his bicycle the whole 10, 12, 15 rounds.
Right.
But he was not exciting to watch. Nobody wanted to watch that.
That's how Mayweather is. People still pay their money to watch him, though, I tell you.
Yeah, he is making money, and it mystifies me as to why he's making money, because me, when I watch boxing, and I like blood and fire. I want to see a fight, and I want to see a hard-fought fight, and I want to see people getting knocked out.
Right.
You know, not because it's a beautiful sport, it's very scientific, get into the sweet science, but eventually you want to see somebody go down.
Right.
You know, not TKOs. You want to see people go to sleep.
Right.
So, hey, thanks, guys. Good program.
Thanks a lot, Apache. You appreciate it, man. And I totally agree with him. You know what? And I just wanted to say this briefly before we get to our next caller really quick. When you talk about Floyd Mayweather, and, I mean, he's racking in money. And if you look at that documentary, I think he calls it, you say pay-per-view, right? It's his pay-per-view event. He says it's May-per-view. That's what Mayweather is dubbing this now. They should just change the name from pay-per-view to May-per-view. When you talk about that, there's no one out there to watch, really. You know what I mean? Every other fighter, Mayweather's built up this rancor that's really out there. I mean, he's the most popular fighter in the world. And people want to pay to watch some form of boxing and see him fight. So, I mean, if there's no one else out there, they're going to pay that money to watch him fight. That's just simply how it is. There's no one in the heavyweight division. The Klitschko brothers won't fight each other. So, I mean, it becomes a bore after a while. So, all the money just goes into his pocket. So, all right. Well, we have another caller from right here on MSU's campus on line three. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Romney.
How you doing? What's up, Romney? How you doing, man?
What's up, man? I'm doing well, you know. Coming to shed some light up on what I think. I personally think, to get right to it, I think he's going to either knock him out or Mayweather is going to win by decision. I know that's too drastic. We think it's different things. I think Saul's going to come in swinging. Like I said, you know, like the guy before me was saying, he's a young buck. He's going to come in swinging. And he already has 30 TKO. So he's either going to come in swinging wild and miss, and Mayweather's going to win, or he's going to catch Mayweather with a good one. Mayweather will go down. So.
Right. So you think this will not be a decision?
I think it is. If Mayweather wins, it will be a decision.
Okay.
If Saul wins, it will be a TKO.
Gotcha. So who you going with? Just give me a prediction really quick, Romney.
I'm going with Mayweather. I don't think he's going to hit him.
Mayweather by decision.
Yeah, Mayweather by decision.
Gotcha. Hey, Romney, thanks a lot for the call, brother.
Yep, man. Peace.
Al, I'm very more surprised that not one person has picked Alvarez yet.
I mean,
the guy's
shocked.
44-0.
Well, he's 44-0. 44-0. Now, granted, Canelo is a young fighter. He's got his punch, you know, packs a lot of power. But he's going to Floyd Mayweather. I've been down. I feel like I've sung this song before. We're talking about a fighter like Cotto, who I thought Cotto had a legit shot at beating Mayweather, which he did. He looked great in the first five, six rounds.
You know, Canelo is also 42-0.
Yeah, he is. But again, this is Mayweather here. You know, we're talking about Floyd Mayweather, who's 44 and old.
Let me bring up one thing that is a little surprising to me. And as you know, betting here in Michigan is illegal, but in Vegas it is not. And in Vegas, some online web betting sites have Alvarez at a +220 underdog.
Really?
That is the first time that the odds have been so swayed in a favor in an opponent against Mayweather in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is the fight that Mayweather loses, this is it.
Yeah, this is it. I think I don't think we're ever going to see Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather. And, you know, looking past Alvarez, I mean, who is out there to give Mayweather a challenge now? You know what I mean? And he's getting older. I mean, Mayweather said that, you know, after this fight, he's contemplating retirement. He's thinking about saying, hey, I'm hanging up the gloves, I'm done. So if anyone is going to beat him this Saturday, Alvarez has to be that one. And there's a bone in me looking at that All Access show. I mean, he's training hard. Alvarez is training hard. He's eating right. He looks good. The kid looks great. But then again, I think about Mayweather, and I feel like I said that with Cotto. I said that with Guerrero. And look what happened, you know? And even with Ortiz, even though Ortiz got caught with a cheap shot. I've said it before in the past, and, you know, I've been proven wrong. So we'll see what happens. Again, if you have any thoughts on the Mayweather-Alvarez fight taking place this Saturday night, Mayweather and Alvarez, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone, voice your opinion, give your prediction on what do you think is going to take place this Saturday in Vegas. It's going to be very interesting, to say the least. Man, time flies, guys. I wanted to talk about U of M and Notre Dame with the whole series ending now. We still got a little bit of time. I guess we can shift gears a little bit here. U of M, of course, played Notre Dame for the last time, I guess, at least for the foreseeable future.
Hold on. This is just at Michigan Stadium.
They play next year. At Michigan State, at the Big House, right.
Right.
Exactly.
And don't feel bad, because ESPN was doing the same thing when they were hyping up the game.
Are you going to tune in for the last time?
But it's not the last time. They're playing next season.
At the Big House. I think that the attendance at the Big House was the largest in the history of college football. The largest crowd in the history of college football. Guys,
sounds comfortable.
Without a doubt. Ooh. What was it, 115,000, something like that?
Something insane.
It was really ridiculous, guys. But when you look at the game, what'd you like from that game? Are you sad to see the rivalry come to an end, but they still have one more year? Thanks, Matt, for pointing it out. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, of course I'm upset. But if you look at all the years, especially in this last decade, Michigan has just dominated most of the games against Notre Dame. And from Rich Rod, that was Notre Dame's time to really come back. But what I have seen with these Michigan-Notre Dame games is just the fact that both teams have just transitioned so much. When you look at the earlier part of the decade with Lloyd Carr, it was the classic. Lloyd Carr, then Charlie Weiss would come in. He lost all the games against Michigan. That was that. I mean, it was a similar Lloyd Carr offense each year. Mm-hmm. But with the coaching changes now, it just has changed so much with the kind of play calling, especially with some of the last-minute decisions in some games. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I've seen. What about you, Matt?
It's just, you know, everything goes back to the Denard game when he just went crazy and ran and threw for over 250 yards. And right. then, you know, the next season where everyone says it's the greatest game, but oh my gosh, was anyone playing defense in 2011 when they had three touchdowns in the last minute and 22?
Right.
Just like ridiculous plays up and down the field. Like it was basically a basketball game.
Yeah, it's true.
And that was probably the shining moment in at least the recent rivalry history, but it's not like they haven't gone big chunks of years without playing each other.
Right.
You know, like it's been on and off. You know, Notre Dame beat them for the first time in like 1909 or something, and then Michigan refused to play them for 30 something years. Like it's not the first time.
Not the first time
that one school has backed out and said, you know, we're going to play somebody else. And I think everybody's giving Notre Dame a hard time about pulling out of the series, but you know they do play other teams from, and now they're half in the ACC and half out, and still playing USC every year and Stanford and.
Yeah, I think a lot of the criticism is coming from, of course, those in this state right here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I don't know if it's totally warranted.
Right. Right. I see exactly what you're saying. Looking at the game this past weekend, I must say I'm very. Very impressed with Devin Gardner and Toussaint.
It's crazy what offense looks like, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, right?
We
haven't seen it in here in East Lansing. I'll tell you that right now. But Devin Gardner, he looked great, guys. He's so dynamic because he can run the ball. He seems to be very accurate when he throws it. Of course, you know, and this is what really upset me watching that game. You know the moment where he's in the red zone, he gets sacked, and he just throws the ball up. Notre Dame catches it for a touchdown right there in the end zone. And it seemed, I went on my Twitter feed, and everyone's bashing the kid for, you know, oh, you should have thrown it away or take the safety. Yeah. At the same time, you got to realize this kid, I mean, this is his first season being the starter for the team, first full season where he's getting the ball, the team is his. And you got to expect to deal with those growing pains. When it happened, I'm like, hey, it happens. He is only his second start to start a season. I mean, stop. Get off the guy. You know what I mean? It really upset me from that standpoint.
I mean, it was a really dumb play.
It was a dumb play, but at the same time, he's in college. This is his first time playing on a national game like that.
Totally fair.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. You know? So you were one of those guys, man, just down.
No, well, I just, you know, it's a dumb. Why would you do it? What are you thinking?
But some comments went overboard. I'm like, come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the internet, though. Comments are going to go overboard.
Yeah.
People are going to get worked up about stuff that doesn't mean that much. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. Yeah, sports, right?
It's scary.
But the kid has a bright future. I'm very impressed with the team. And, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens next year when they do play for that final time. That'll be the official final time right there.
There you go.
Gotcha. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Bugs and Citizens, Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer, Aaron Young. Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to former Spartan great Todd Duggett for joining me. Same time, same place tomorrow. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. And as always, be easy, people.